Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 10 of Bare Belief. Hello. Double digits. Hello, Jessica.
What's cooking, Gabriel? McNugget?
No, not McNuggets, but ramen noodles usually is the order of the day. So we are at episode 10. It feels kind of like a milestone.
It is a milestone.
It has a feel. Double digits. Yeah, I'm kind of proud of ourselves for having to hung on long enough to get to episode 10. I think we've hit a stride.
Exactly, and committed to it. Yeah. And just finding our own voices as well as what this kind of feels like and works out to. Yeah.
And it's kind of fun. Like I think we've hit a stride. We're enjoying it. We've kind of have a good feel for what we're doing. Let us know, you guys, if you are listening. You can let us know, and we'll do one shout out today. I feel like we need to shout out Kevin, Chris's brother. We know you're listening, like we just know you are. So just feel like we need to shout you out. Thank you for subscribing. You're a mensch. So if you want to be like Kevin and subscribe to us, you can do so at youtube.com at Bare Belief, and you can do that. Follow us also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can write us barebeliefpodcast@gmail.com, or you can just go to our website, barebelief.ca, and all of our stuff is right there. We will be happy to have you. So the world feels a little crazy right now. If we look, we've mentioned this a few times. If we look around, the news is nuts. There are wars all over the place. There's like something like 30 ongoing world conflicts right now. It's a little bonkers. We kind of want to explore today, like, how do we navigate difficult times? And difficult times doesn't have to be like a world problem. I think we all have difficult times from a personal level, sometimes from a community level. It can be at work. It can be with your kids. It can be with your parents. Oh, good Lord, can we ever have hard times sometimes with our parents? Relatives. Our lives are complex. Mm. I think as humans, we lead complex lives. Even if we try to be as simple as possible, things happen. It's the nature of living on Earth. So how do we navigate those difficulties? And how do we find the strength when these things get hard? So I guess today we'll kind of ask you, Jessica, like, how does your spirituality or your belief system inform those decisions or help guide you when you're dealing with all of these things?
I think it's just the constant belief of hope that this too shall pass. And that kind of keeps you going. I've had darker moments where it's gotten scary. And I've been able to identify that I was in that place and to get personal support, to see a psychologist. But yeah, I think when it's sort of the day-to-day, part of it is, okay, shake it off. This too shall pass. Or again, where am I in this situation? I do a lot of sort of that personal self-reflection. But spiritually, sometimes I kind of feel like I'm I'm dating myself here, Braveheart, on the movie Braveheart. There's the one with Mel Gibson. Not that I really want to go there, but I really liked, there was an Irish character, I can't remember his name, but he's always like, my God tells me this, and yes, that's what we're gonna do, because my God says this isn't gonna happen, and you're thinking that you're crazy or whatever. So a lot of the times I'm just in constant conversation, I feel, with God. I know they're sort of taking the Lord's name in vain when people are like, God, Jesus, you know, and they're just saying this word. But I think I was doing it out of habit at one time, but now I almost take a second if I'm saying it, and I'm like, oh, God, like, seriously, like, what is going on, you know, and sort of taking that moment to be outside the situation. I think it's just sort of taking that time. And I think that's what spirituality has taught me, is just pause. Okay. If I can't do anything else, just pause. Mm-hmm.
I find in a lot of ways, finding strength is, like, I think for me, that's the key here. Like, like sometimes when things happen, like, it can be overwhelming. Like, I don't know. It seems like in the run of a day, like, you wake up and, like, I don't know, like, the coffee machine is broken, so mm-hmm. now you can't get your coffee. And then you sign into your work things, and then oh, look at this, like there's some goofball at work decided he's gonna ruin your day at some meeting by saying something dumb. And then at the end of the day you come home and then you get a bill that you forgot about, or there's all these things, like just these daily things. Like
I think there's this the different levels, right?
Yeah.
And I think it goes from sort of this stage one of the control and controllables, right? Like, what can I control? What can't I control? Like, I can't control that bonehead saying stupid things, and it's just going to drive me nuts. No, and I can waste my energy on him.
But I can punch him in the mouth.
Well, not according to your HR policy.
No, unfortunately. But Lord, would I have ever wanted to punch a few people this week? But
you know, and I think it's so sort of part of it's that, like, what can I control in this? And if I can do this, then I'm going to take that route, you know? Because again, what is sort of long-term, not long-term planning, but what's the end goal? Mm-hmm. What am I trying to do? Because I think that's what I've learned in my this isn't working and my frustrations is that, you know what, sometimes it doesn't have to be what I plan specifically from A to Z, right? I might go hit pi or alpha or whatever before I get there. And maybe there's some learning or something that the universe has set out for me. Now, that can turn into a platitude sometimes. Yeah. You know, because we sort of justify these sort of weird things happening. And I think sometimes we can be mad. Like, I think I mentioned I did play rugby for 25 years, 22 active seasons. That was a huge release because I could hit people.
Oh, my God.
No, but I mean, it was emotion that I could get out and expend.
It's the same thing for me at the gym. Like on Wednesday, I had a terrible day at work. I literally wanted to strangle people when I walked out. And I got to the gym and my trainer asked me, he was like, where is all this energy coming from? And I was like, oh man, you can increase the weights. And I got so much that physical kind of exertion gets, it's weird. There is a physicality tied to that kind of adversity that, like, it just the release you get from just that exertion, that physical exertion, it's really, really fun.
And then, like, at the end of it, your dopamine levels are all rise, right?
Absolutely.
So you're not only feeling accomplished, you're chemically like a little more leveled out as well. But I think, again, it's almost like taking yourself out also needs to happen. Like, again, you have those uncontrollables that pile up that are even harder. Like this summer, I had the death of a guinea pig, the death of an aunt, the death of a mentor. And I know a guinea pig, but no. But
it is kind of funny that you put the guinea pig with the aunt.
Well, I did it in the order, right? But this little thing meant so much to me. And I didn't think it did. I really didn't think it did.
Oh, really?
I thought
this was like a surprise.
It was a surprise, so that when it passed, like I took it so hard. It took me at least 2 months to like kind of be able to sit, like, I don't know. I always related it into the song "Is All I Ask" by Adele, right? Uh-huh. Like, if I can just have one more moment.
Okay.
I'm even getting emotional.
Okay. Wow. For the guinea pig.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Why do you think it's the guinea pig is so significant? It's interesting to me because it's like,
it's just a little furball.
Looking from the outside, like, it's a guinea pig.
Yeah.
And I know that you're cerebral and logical enough
to get that perspective. It freaks you out. But again, it was just these, maybe that was sort of a coping thing where I was having those days. I knew I could go get Oreo and we could have a nap or we could have a cuddle or a play or whatever. And in that moment, it was just about that time. You know, and I think that's
so he was a support for you. He's kind of like a little furry friend.
Yeah, definitely. Right. And then there was, he didn't want anything except some hay and some cuddles and maybe a clean cage every now and then. And so I still can't explain it. I still can't explain it.
Really?
But it really, really has affected me. Like, obviously, I'm still kind of like wiping the
tip. And this
is
months ago now.
This was July last year.
Oh, my God. Almost a year.
Yeah. And it's still like, but again, I think that was sort of the beginning.
But yeah, I don't think this is unique for you. Like, the pet industry in North America is a multi-billion dollar industry. There's a reason why people get these attachments now to these pets. I wonder, like, it's a relatively modern thing. It's, you know, like years ago, like if you go back, you know, decades, you don't even need to go back centuries. The place of these pets has evolved. And I really wonder, like, because you look at like the importance that people give to their dogs, and people call themselves these days like dog parents or like cat parents. Well, and I find that
it's no longer a possession.
Yeah. And I find, to me, I find it like, okay, so I don't know. I'm from the country. We had a certain relationship to animals, that, shall we say, that like those kinds of attachment to pets. I still have, like I have pets. I have two cats. Like you've probably heard them purr over the mic over the past few episodes. I like my pets. I love my pets. They're great. But like, I don't know. I've thought about this because, I mean, Katrin, I have a cat named Katrin. Katrin is going to be, let me think, 8 years old, right soon, actually. And so I've thought about that. Like, how am I going to feel when she passes? And honestly, as much as I hate to say it, like, I love petting her. I love playing with her. She's great. I love that she's in my apartment. She's going to die. And I'm going to be like, I am not getting another long-haired cat. I can tell you that right now. And I think I'll just get up. I'll feel sad for a minute or two. And
this
and
isn't
move on.
My first pet, right?
No.
I grew up with pets. Like, I've had dogs and cats. And especially, like, a guinea pig. I was like, okay, it's just a little rodent thing. Like, whatever, you know? Like, what, 190 grams of.
So you were surprised.
Super surprised, right? And and even to the fact that we went and got more for the brother later.
Oh boy, did you ever get more?
And we won't get into that. But I.
You were basically running a little guinea pig harem for a while.
Well, it was a rescue more than any harem. But I didn't want to care for those other, like, I'm like, I'll care for you. I love, like, but I'm not giving you that part. Like, I almost felt like I was betraying this. Like, it was really...
No way.
Yeah. So...
So there was a really kind of strong bond there. That's interesting.
But then it sort of, on reflection, I did a funeral this January. And I was like, you know what? Just because something hurts in our heart and that person...
Yeah.
Or persona, whatever, is no longer there, doesn't mean I can't let others into my
heart.
Of
course not.
Right? Yeah. And that learning, that relationship taught me and supported me. So I can then transfer that to this new relationship.
So how would you approach that grief and that challenge from a spiritual perspective? Like, how would you use, or not necessarily use, but like help you get through those emotions?
I think number one is you have to feel them, right? So many times, like, okay, I gotta do this and I gotta do that. And like, I went to work, like, you know, it happened the Saturday. I took one day off, was an extra day. And then I couldn't, I was at the hospital. I had something wrong with my foot. And so I took a day off. I couldn't take a second day. I had to go to work. It's my day camp.
Yeah.
And I'm there and my staff are looking at me. They're like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "No."
Yeah, clearly not.
I am not okay.
I am a mess.
And they're like, "Why are you here?" Because I have to be here. Yeah. And I have this wonderful staff woman named Violet, and she gives these fabulous hugs. She's like, "Do you want a hug?" I'm like, "No." And she's like, "What?" And I'm like, "No, because I can't be in that place."
Yeah.
You know,
I'm gonna crack.
But you have to take the time to go through it. And I would. I had his little blankie right on the side and all this. So then a month later, my aunt passes. Right. And again, another relationship, like, you sort of figure, okay, these were mentors. It was okay. You know, like, she was sick. She passed suddenly. Like, we didn't expect it. Like, she had gone in for an operation. So it was always a possibility, but she was getting better than just kind of did it. And you're sort of, again, like, where did this come from?
Yeah.
And then you're like, and then it's the, those missed, not opportunities, but, you know, she'd be the one I'd complain to about my mom, or like about the parent, like the support, because, you know, I'd be like, "Your sister." And I'm like, or something would happen. I'm like, "Oh, I got a call." And I did that in the car. I was like, "Oh my God, I got a call." I'm like, "Oh, I can't call. And so I think it's in those moments that you know, you can get over the initial grief, the funerals, this and that. And it's the new life after. Like, what does that look like?
It's that transition. It's that transition period. Right.
And so again, we keep feeling like I need to act this way, or I feel I should be, or like I have a woman in my programs. You know what? My loved ones passed away like almost 10 years and I feel I'm not over it yet.
Oh God.
Right. And like, should I be over it? I'm like, should you? Like, should is a conditional verb, right? Yeah. And so I think, again, when we're going through these hard times, there's all this layer of expectation of where we should be in it. And I think, you know, if, I mean, it was Frozen. Frozen 2. There's a song, Ariel.
The Disney movie?
The Disney movie.
We're talking about
a Disney movie.
We're really going, okay.
No.
You know, Jessica, I'm going to permit it this one time.
But there's brilliant messaging in some of these newer, anyway.
I agree that personally, In-N-Out is one of the best movies ever.
Right?
Not In-N-Out, Inside Out, that movie about the feelings and the colors.
Exactly.
That was a brilliant movie.
So, but here, it was an Ariel. Anna thinks Elsa has passed, right? And that she died and whatnot.
I will take your word for it because I have never watched those movies.
It's okay. So she, and in some, you know, she has. The sister has passed away, and there's this beautiful song just about grief. And you know what? I can't get up. I can't do this. I can't do that. I go, but you know what? Today I'm just going to take this one step. And then the next time I'm going to take another step. And if that's all I can do today, then that's okay.
Mm.
And it's this wonderful, lyric of, you know what? And that's how we just continue our journey. Like we're, you know, And I think where my spirituality comes in is that I know when my aunt is still with me. And it's not just that memory of her. I do feel a presence.
So there's comfort in
that. There is comfort in that.
Belief.
And I think that doesn't come sort of from my Christian belief. That comes from my Celtic upbringing, where it's felt that in death, we just lose our physical form. Mm-hmm. And so when you think like, oh, you know what? That happened. Oh, that must have been Uncle Jimmy or whoever, Johnny, da 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 da. Probably could be, you know. So there are those moments where I'm like, yeah, okay, Leona.
Yeah.
You know, so I think the belief in the unseen, right? Like, yeah, there is a spiritual realm, a spiritual world, nirvana, heaven, all of that out there in some capacity, kind of gives. Like, it's not this reality, but there's a new reality.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we can let go of those expectations,
mm-hmm.
and saying, I should be in this place, and instead of just being like, hey, here I am now. So loss of job, right? Like, hard times is grief. Loss
it's
of job.
Always grief. It's different forms, I think, but I think it's often, like a breakup is grief.
It's
like,
grief. It's the loss of something, right? The loss of the routine, the loss of that reality, right? So we have to feel that, but at the same time, we need to get up and move, even if it's that one step. And a bit of that survival mentality. And I know in my experience, I had to do that. Like when my parents got divorced, there wasn't time to grieve. You had to get up and go. Like we had to figure out how to survive that.
Yeah.
You know.
I think you probably do grieve, but just in different ways. Maybe not in obvious ways or in like overt ways, but the grief, you have to process it somehow.
Well, that's where, like, I got angry. That's where I developed a lot of the anger stuff, right?
There
because you don't realize that it was an article I read where a form of depression is anger.
Oh, of course. Yes.
And I was like, oh my gosh, right. I don't get moody blues. I don't get sad. I get mad.
I think
right?
Maybe not necessarily a form of depression, but like it's a symptom of depression, I think, is anger. Like if you're always angry, this could be the underlying thing is depression underneath.
Right.
That.
But it's also an expression of it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
So we're like, no, I'm not a poor me kind of like person.
Really?
I'm like, get the F out of my face. Yeah. Who are you? And I'm just like reactive, you know, and it's taking me a long time to learn.
Yeah,
like,
but that's,
what are those physical things?
That's years of your armor, right? This is how you built your armor around yourself to survive in all of these experiences.
Exactly.
You know?
But then you need to learn that that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, that's when I learned. I'm like, oh my God, I really do. Like it was always the joke because, hey, you play rugby, you can be mad, you can hit whatever. Hey, no, I gotta sort this out or I'm gonna hurt somebody.
Parenting is one of those things that, like, like, I'm not a parent, so mm-hmm. whatever. But there, but I don't want to be a parent because I know, like, I know myself. I know where my limits are, and I see the difficulty in parenting. And I think some people are often surprised by how hard it is. Mm-hmm. They we have in this society, we've glamorized parenting a little bit. Like, everybody's performing. Like, I feel like there's a lot of parents out there who are performing the role of parents mm-hmm. in public.
Well, and there's that competition, right? And, if I don't have the right stroller, if I don't have the right thing, if my kid totally. Doesn't have that toy. Like, so, birthday parties are insane.
So, yeah. So I think that emotion that you described, that high level of, I think it's normal. I think it's and it's kind of like, in terms of like spirituality, I think that's where there's the atheist non-believer in me is where I can have a certain amount of jealousy, or maybe not jealousy, but like envy in the fact that I can't comfort myself in these situations by leaning on those spiritual beliefs of, mm-hmm. and that spiritual, like, a lot of people lean on God for support and stuff. But to me, that's empty. Like, I have to find other ways mm-hmm. of finding strength and rebuilding myself. 'Cause I find a lot of times, like when I broke up with my ex just about 2 years ago now. And like, that is a rebuilding process. It really feels like it from one day to the next, your whole life is torn apart and then you have to start from zero. And like that rebuilding process, like I need to lean on other things spiritually. Like, of course we all lean on our friends a little bit. You activate the support network and you find ways to deal with these problems as they arise. But like, I get the spiritual side from, I find for me in those difficult times, like meditation is my number one mm-hmm. thing. That's how I manage. I find mindfulness helps a lot, getting those, controlling those emotions, living them. Because you said earlier, you have to feel them. I think what I like about mindfulness is that it teaches you to recognize the emotion, let it happen, but and feel it, but not let it control.
Exactly.
And I think that's where a lot of people kind of lose that sense. Because if you lose control over the emotion, then the emotion controls you. And that's when things go crazy. And like, guys, I am not perfect. Like, nobody is. Like, we all lose control at some point or another in our lives. It's just, we're humans. So, but that is, I find, with the mindfulness over years and years of practice, it's probably the number one thing for me that mm-hmm. that helps me a lot. But again, like, I think in a way, I know, because from back in the day when I was more of a churchgoer, like that, I don't want to call it a crutch because it's not really a crutch, but God does become in a way a certain support for, even though he's in a lot of people rely on him. Like, they, you know, they pray to God, they find strength in that. And that never worked for me. Even when I was at church, I was like, I could pray all I want, I still felt like crap. Like, it didn't matter, you know?
Well, right. Because we were looking for God to fix the problem in the way we wanted them to fix it. Yeah. Right. So when that expectation doesn't happen, it's like, you don't exist. You're not doing it because it didn't happen the way I thought this result was supposed to end, you know? And so I think we put a lot on God that, you know what? Part of this is just our life journey, you know, and you need to learn and you're going to get strengthened and maybe see a different perspective that you hadn't before, you know? So I had another friend that had a relationship end and they were lost. And it's just like, did I just waste all this time? And I'm like, no, you were with that person for that time because that's where you needed to grow and that's where you needed to learn. And that's where, you know, that part of it was. Now you know from that and that experience mm-hmm. what the next part is. If you want that, really, if you want another relationship, hey, we're all doing a lot, yeah. you know? And if you do, how did you compromise yourself? How did you, you know, support? Didn't you support, you know? And I think that's kind of part of dating, you know? Yeah. And then we kind of, you know, all relationships end, right? I've been married 20 years. I'm hoping it will stay longer, but it will end in a death, and I'm going to have to learn. Because he says he's dying first. This is what I'm saying. Oh, I'm going to have to learn.
Oh my God.
He says he's, I have him till he's 75.
What does Pat think he's dying first?
I don't know. He just says he's got till 75. And if I keep freaking him out and stressing him out, maybe 70. Anyways.
I am so. Can I actually think I can ask him why he thinks he's going to die when he's 75?
Yes, we can do it when we're at really dinner on Sunday. Yes.
That is her. Is he coming on Sunday?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait.
So again, it's this. You know, so you can still prepare as much as you want to prepare, but you don't know what it's going to be like, right? Like, it's like a flood. I can get all the sandbags I want.
True.
I can get all the food. I can be as prepared as I can be, but I still need to be in that moment and react to what's happening and or be proactive or experience what it is and then take that time to kind of heal, reflect, and then take that learning and move on to this next part of my journey. And I think it's funny when you're sort of talking about God as that crutch.
But I see it, though. I see it all the time.
Well, I think that's where we have to be very healthy in our relationship with God. As I said, there's sort of that.
But there's so many examples of these unhealthy relationships with God. Like we see, and this is what leads people, I think, at least for me, into this more non-believing things when you see these people having these like crazy associations to God and like just like talking about it in that way that just it just sounds nuts to me, like it's just crazy.
but again, I think that's where, and for some, you know, maybe they need that. Like I'm just kind of thinking, sorry, kind of flashing my brain, like with AA and NA, there's the whole that prayer, you know, giving me the serenity
to accept the things I cannot change and the strength to change the ones I can.
But
like
there's
that.
Still
I'm paraphrasing. I've never been to NA or AA, so I don't know.
It's a serenity prayer. I just know that's the
name. It's just very popular. You see it all over the place.
But again, it's sort of that middle ground, right? And I think when we sort of expect too much on God or we have all that, then it can become very unhealthy as well.
Oh,
but
absolutely.
But it's been statistically proven that people get healthier through prayer and even knowing that other people are praying for them. So there is something in that energy.
But there's, you know what, the reverse of that coin is that you can do the same thing with meditation.
But meditation is a form of prayer.
But okay, but this is where like my atheistic brain brings it to like, well, then what's the point of God? Like, is it really God? Like is it, or is it just this human spirituality that is something else? You know,
maybe some have labeled it as a God. Like when you're doing your mindfulness practice, where do you just release that to in like just the universal energy? Because you know what? I don't want your spiritual garbage all over me. I don't want that. Like, I don't know if I want to come back here because I'm just going to get smacked in the face with it. Right? Where does that go?
The air has been cleansed.
Right? You sage before I come?
I have an air wick, Jessica. Like, it's spewing orange citrus fruits.
But that's orange citrus fruits. But you know what I mean? Like, it's obviously being released to something.
Yeah.
Right? And for some, maybe it's calling it God. Maybe it's calling it universe. Maybe it's calling it the divine. Maybe it's calling it not in Gabe's apartment. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's going somewhere. And you're releasing it to something. And I think it's in some ways, it's just semantics. Right? Like, what do we call it?
Wow. So people, it's interesting because if we boil it down to semantics, that means that we are judging people, creating wars, having all these conflicts for semantics. Which is kind of bonkers.
Well, you know? I think it's a little deeper than that because, I mean, we've talked in other episodes about how we find our team, you know. So I think it's just easier to sort of label it, hey, we're all like this because I fit. And that goes into an old anthropological, tribal mentality of us and them, right? So, but now we're just labeling it with a religious thing versus, I don't know, whatever.
Versus them. It's always the same thing.
Some people call it emotional well-being. What do you do for your emotional well-being? Well, some use spiritual practices for that. Others use mental wellness practices. But a lot of it's very, very similar techniques.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I think we've done it.
We're getting good. And we actually got to the point.
We did good. High five, Jessica. Woohoo! Episode 10 is now wrapped up. So thank you all for listening to us. Don't forget, like, comment, and subscribe. It is the number one way you can help us with our little podcasting adventure. So you can do that at youtube.com/BearBelief. You can do it on our website, bearbelief.ca. You can write us an email. We love getting them. BearBeliefPodcast@gmail.com. Or you can also subscribe to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Just search for Bear Belief. And we will be searching for you again soon. Thank you for listening and see you next time. See you later, Jessica.
See you later, Gabriel.